Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to the RADA Electronics Industries First Quarter 2022 Results Conference Call. All participants are at present in listen-only mode. Following management's formal presentation, instructions will be given for the question-and-answer session. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded. You should have all received by now the company's press release. If you have not received it, please contact RADA's Investor Relations team at GK Investor & Public Relations at 1-212-378-8040, or view it in the news section of the company's website, www.rada.com. I would now like to hand over the call to Mr. Ehud Helft of GK Investor Relations. Mr. Helft, would you like to begin, please?
Yeah. Thank you, operator. I would like to welcome all of you to this conference call to discuss RADA's first quarter 2022 results. I would like to thank RADA's management for hosting this call. With us on the call today are Mr. Dov Sailas, Chief Executive Officer, and Mr. Avi Israel, Chief Financial Officer. Dov will summarize the key highlights of the quarter, followed by Avi, who will provide a summary of the financials. We will then open the call for the questions-and-answer session. Before we start, I'd like to point out that the safe harbor published in today's press release also pertains to the content of this conference call. With that, I would now like to introduce RADA's CEO, Mr. Dov Sailas. Dovi, go ahead, please.
Thank you, Ehud, and good day to all our call participants. Let's start with an overview of our results this quarter. We have just reported the results of the first quarter of 2022, with revenues of $22.5 million and adjusted EBITDA of $1.3 million. We see this quarter as a bump in the road and unrelated to the trend of what is going on around us. In this quarter, we actually saw the peak of the impact on our revenues of the continuing resolution in the United States. The passing of the U.S. budget was delayed from September and finally passed on March 11, with all new defense spending effectively on hold for that period. We are very pleased that this is now behind us, and we are already seeing new orders from the U.S. begin again, as our recent PR 3 weeks ago of new business mentioned. We should see the current quarter's results in the framework of the bigger picture. A growing need for Western countries to provide the best and most advanced active defense solutions for their maneuverable military assets and ultimately their troops. The recent war in Ukraine has very unfortunately made this all clear across the world. We are confident that our recovery will be fast. We keep our revenue guidance of $140 million for the full year, and it should indicate to you that from our perspective here in May, post CR, we expect to receive all the revenues missed in Q1 by year-end. Our strong cash position, along with our confidence that this first quarter is an anomaly, allowed us to continue to produce, invest, acquire inventory, and recruit people as per our plans, and we did not pause for a moment given the opportunities ahead of us. Let's take a look at our markets. Our software-defined and mobile radars are in the heart of modern warfare needs, such as short-range air defense, counter-UAVs, active protection systems for armored vehicles, counter-rocket artillery and mortar, and such. Now even more so evident by the war in Ukraine and the many images of blown out and burned shells of tanks and military vehicles that we all see on TV. In the recent years of our growth in the U.S. market, to capitalize on our market position, we decided to produce radars to stock and apply a book and ship commercial approach. We are very fortunate that this unique approach not only made us attractive to our U.S. customers, but because it relied on high levels of inventories and components, it also shielded us from much of the negative impacts and challenges that COVID placed on us over the past two years, including what is now the supply chain constraints that everybody faces. Our U.S. market is now moving from the joint urgent operational needs statement type of programs meaning orders on a short and urgent need basis, into programs of record, a trend that will enable us to build many more products over a long period based on an order backlog, generating for us long-term revenue visibility and stable growth. Today, our radars have become the incumbent radar insight solution in quite a few significant platforms, some of which already have converted into programs of record that I just mentioned. In 2022, we are not reliant on only a few customers and solutions. Furthermore, our book and bill strategy enables us to recover very fast from acquisition process delays and bureaucracy, as we have experienced until mid-March. We are able to deliver radars from stock, sometimes within days, to the highest satisfaction of our customers, especially during these days of both global supply chain problems and U.S. budget delays, and now catch-up. I have only addressed the U.S. market until now, but as I explained in January at our analyst event and webinar, the rest of the world, which I divide into the Near East, Europe/NATO countries, and the Indian subcontinent, should reach, based on our estimation, revenue levels similar to the USA within 3 to 4 years. And recent events have only made us more confident in this expectation. The Europe/NATO countries are typically following the doctrine and solutions of the U.S. military, and the need for short-range air defense and point defense is becoming widely recognized. When we spoke with you in January, we said the market is in its incubation phase, but I believe we have advanced since then. We have already seen engagement and already been engaged with quite a few prominent European weapon system providers, and our radars are being integrated and continuously tested as part of their solutions. To date, mobile short-range air defense and counter UAS programs were sporadic in low volumes to European customers. However, we believe the current event will lead to an uptick in 2023. We also evidence of growing interest in the U.S. in the integrated and proven systems we are already part of as part of an immediate military support to Ukraine and neighboring countries. The Near East and India markets are both waking up around the need to mitigate the UAS and cruise missile threats in view of recent attacks which demonstrated significant damages. We expect growing sales of counter-drone solutions to both markets during the current and especially next year. We also remind you that we recently announced plans to set up an Indian joint venture company with a local partner by the end of 2022. Let's review our financial expectations ahead. I want to give you a little more perspective on our forward-looking financial expectations. We are confident that a recovery from current Q1 revenue level will be fast, as evidenced by Q1 new business that we have announced just 3 weeks ago when we declared $29 million in new business, which is up 22% compared to previous year. Our 2022 guidance of $140 million, which we reiterated this morning, implies 20% revenue growth. We expect that our shelves will convert into revenues along Q2 and the second half of the year. In terms of geographic breakout expectations of our full year revenues, to remind you what we discussed in January, we expect the U.S. market to be about $90 million in revenues, while about 90% of our guidance are already incorporated in the defense budget line items, and some already in our backlog. The urgent nature of some of our anticipated revenues this year, also around Ukraine, which is not considered in our forecast, represents further upside to our U.S. revenue expectations. For the non-U.S. market, we forecast about $40 million of radar revenues during 22, and finally, we expect around $9 million coming from our legacy avionic business. We believe that our overall margins will not be affected by the CR delay in Q1, and revenues of the produced items will convert into profit and cash per our regular margins. And if we were to add $9 million or so, based on our estimations for the first quarter and actually the street consensus, which estimated $31 million, gross margins and cash generation would have been in line with our expectations. So it's all about the top line, the missing top line here. On the OPEX side, as I said earlier, we did not delay any of our investments and continue to move forward at full throttle. We topped up our manpower as per our plans, which is now stabilizing at around 250 people in Israel and towards 90 people in the USA. Salaries increased somewhat due to manpower pressure by around 4 to 5% on the average. We had some one-time expenses of about $650,000 this quarter, which most of it will be absent in the coming three quarters when considering the OPEX. And lastly, in view of the increased cost of labor and supplies, we've also recently adjusted our selling prices accordingly. Before we summarize, let's have a short look at our new products launch. Our new developments, namely the NMHR, the XMHR, and the ICHR, all are addressing the new and evolving needs of our defense markets and introduce increased ranges, higher accuracies, and additional very sophisticated and advanced features in these radars. These radars are starting field testing very soon, and we already have initial orders for them. We believe these products have a bright future and present strong further growth potential, keeping us in the lead and widening our opportunities pipelines. So let's summarize. While Q1 revenues levels are below expectations, they are only a bump on the road and do not change the broader picture. Like all in our industry, we are pleased with the CR being completed and behind us. The U.S. revenues, which shifted away from Q1, will be delivered along the remainder of the year, and there is no adjustment to our gross margins expectations or associated cash flow. Most importantly, there is no change to our full-year guidance of $140 million, which is up 20% compared to 2021. We continue as planned without pausing because the opportunity, which is now right in front of us, is big and very clear. Beyond what I discussed with you only 4 months ago, the rest of the world has just has had a strong waking up call with the unexpected war in Ukraine, and we believe this will translate to upside in the orders over the coming years, similar to the strong growth we experienced in the U.S. in recent years. Therefore, I'm very optimistic and very much look forward to our follow-on discussion in the next quarter. I'd like now to hand over the discussion to Avi Israel, our CFO. Avi.
Thank you, Dubi. Good day, everybody. Thank you for joining. You can find our results on the press release we issued earlier today, and I will provide a short summary of the first quarter results. First quarter revenues were at $22.5 million versus $25.2 million in the first quarter of last year. As Dubi noted, a large portion of our U.S. revenues were delayed due to the CR in the U.S., which should be delivered in the coming three quarters. Our gross margins in the quarter were 33%. I note that our gross margins have a level of fixed cost within them, so they were impacted by the delay in revenues. I will also add that given our expectations for orders for the short-term deliveries, we have already made the preparation and built products for our inventories that will need to be delivered in the coming quarters. We believe that our full-year gross margin will be at around similar levels to what we have delivered in the recent quarters. First quarter operating expenses were $8.2 million compared to $6.4 million in the first quarter of last year. We believe this will be the peak for the year and should reduce slightly in the coming three quarters, as the quarter had a number of one-time factors of about $650,000. Operating loss was $0.9 million versus $4.5 million of operating income in the first quarter of 2021. Net loss was $0.7 million versus $3.8 million of net income in the first quarter of last year. We reported an adjusted EBITDA for the first quarter of $1.3 million, which is 6% of revenues, versus adjusted EBITDA of $4.8 million or 19% of revenues in the first quarter of last year. I would like to further add that as an additional $9 million of revenues per the Street consensus that were shifted to the coming quarters, as explained by Dubi, had actually been delivered in the quarter, our gross margins, operating income, and adjusted EBITDA would have been pretty similar to our Q4 numbers. I would also like to summarize and point out some highlights from our balance sheet. As of March 31st, 2022, we had almost $66 million in net cash and no financial debt at all. I note that as of Q1 end, all our needed cash investments in working capital and inventories have been made and are behind us. We expect the cash level to increase strongly as revenue ramp up again towards the second part of the year. As of quarter end, our shareholders' equity stood at a record $156.2 million, financing 75% of our balance sheet. In summary, as Dov indicated, looking ahead, the second quarter is expected to show significant jump in the record results, which will continue to improve throughout the rest of the year. That ends my summary. We should now open the call for questions. Operator, please. Operator?
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we'll begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star one. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star two. If you are using speaker equipment, kindly lift the handset before pressing the numbers. Your questions will be pulled in the order they are received. Please stand by while we pull for your questions. The first question is from Peter Arment of Baird. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon, Dubi and Avi.
Hi.
Maybe you could just describe a little bit about the, you know, the revenue shortfall here and just how we should think about how that kind of layers in, I guess, the rest of the year. Is it you start to see some immediate recovery?
Peter.
In the second quarter or?
Peter?
Yes.
You are not heard clearly here. Can you come closer to the mic?
Is that any better, Avi?
Not really.
Okay. All right. Maybe just go on to the next one, and I'll come back. Thanks.
Thank you.
The next question is from Scott Forbes of Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Now that we kind of have a finalized U.S. budget, when you look at that, is there anything that really stood out in terms of program funding? As you kind of look through the fiscal year 2023 budget request, is there anything that kind of stood out there? What's your initial take on that?
We are not surprised, not with this year budget and not from next year. It's all based on our plans. We have four anchor programs of record or similar, like the M-SHORAD of the Army, the G-BUD of the Marine Corps, now the A-BUD of the U.S. Air Force, and also SOCOM-SIP, and quite a few additional opportunities around them in smaller scale. It continues to evolve and grow based on our expectations and plans.
Just on kind of inventory, I mean, it's still built by like $10 million this quarter. I know you talked about that, being related to kind of the supply chain impact. I guess, how do you see the supply chain as it stands today? How has that changed versus last quarter? How do you think about maybe that wind down of inventory to more normalized levels?
Okay. Normalized, you know, it's probably a relative term. We decided early on, as I mentioned in our review, to adopt a commercial book and bill approach, because it was a new and emerging market, and we knew and saw the need for urgent deliveries. So we topped up our inventories to enable us a stable production plan a year ahead based on our pipeline and estimation of conversion of pipeline into orders. So we maintained that. It protected us for all the products that we are currently selling. It protected us from any supply chain issues when this havoc started. When programs are transferring to programs of record and we have visibility, we can relax, but I don't believe we will go below 6 months ahead of inventories that will enable us 6 months of deliveries based on our plans. This is for the products that we are currently selling. For the new products, we have our challenges around the delivery of components as everybody else. But we took a close look at it quite a while ago, anticipating this issue, and we feel that also for the new products, we are not going to be affected dramatically from the supply chain delivery times. We do see price changes here and there, and unfortunately, we need to adapt our prices accordingly, and we are doing that.
Thank you.
The next question is from Peter Arden of Baird. Please go ahead.
Good morning, Dubi. Avi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Sorry about that earlier. Thanks for your time this morning. Could you maybe just give us a little color on the recovery of the revenue shortfall in Q1? Does it all come through in the second quarter, or do you start to anticipate that moving into the second half of the year?
Until you get all the orders in your hand, you are not entirely sure. But we do anticipate that a significant part will convert already in this quarter. But to be realistic, we say that it will convert for sure until the end of the year. I hope it will be in the next two quarters, meaning this one and the second one and the next one.
Okay, and then just, the continuing resolution, once that was signed for the fiscal 22 budget in March, so did you see an immediate pickup in orders? Is that what you're kind of alluding to with the $29 million in order activity that you saw?
Yes. If you take a look at the $29 million composure, a lot of it came from the U.S., and in the 5 months before that, we had minimal new orders coming from the U.S. due to the CR. It's all about that. So the flow started, and we are optimistic.
Okay. And then just related to CRs, there are some concerns that because of the congressional elections this fall that we'll have another CR. And just what are your thoughts on that impacting your 2022 outlook?
It's a bit far away from us to understand the total U.S. politics, but my estimation is that even if we will have a CR end of this year, it will be shorter. I think a lot of the current CR was around the bipartisan issues and the miss of consensus about the defense budget and the new administration. I believe a lot of that will be behind us. I think also the Ukrainian war is making things more clear and urgent or decisive for the lawmakers in Washington. So, CR is bad for business, for defense business. Let's hope it has a minimal effect, if at all.
Appreciate the call. Thanks, David.
Thank you.
The next question is from Austin Modlin of Canaccord. Please go ahead.
Good morning, Dubi and Avi.
Hi, Austin.
Hi. So my first question here, is there any update from you on testing of the Iron Fist APS for the M2 Bradley?
Yeah, testing is on schedule. Results are good. I cannot say beyond that.
Okay, that's helpful. Do you guys have any update on the India JV and how we might expect revenues to ramp from that over the next year or two? I know you've said that, you know, it can take a long time to ramp up in India, but things were sort of going better than expected so far.
Yeah, India is always an enigma around the schedule and when things happen. We are believers. We have our internal goal to establish the JV by the end of this year, you know, definitive agreement and so on, allocation of facilities and starting to invest. I believe that when the market opens up at the beginning, it will open up in an urgent need at the beginning. We will supply from here. And probably by next year's end, we will have production capability in country. And also, I hope that the business will support it. It is similar to what we did in the U.S. We started setting up our facility there when we saw that there is business and it's happening. We started selling in 2017, and we set up our facility during 2018. We would like to adopt the same approach here.
Okay, excellent. And then in the plan for the fiscal year 23 budget and beyond, have you heard anything about what the latest is on the Army's thinking about how many total battalions of SHORADs they may ultimately purchase?
You know, the original quantity is 144. That's firm, and it is moving even faster than original plans, basically also in view of what's happening now. We do see increasing quantities. I believe that the force structure, original force structure that they've been talking about, the Army, is something like 10 to 12 battalions. It will be a mixture of the directed energy and the kinetic. We are currently part of the kinetic. We have good momentum also around the directed energy. So I do hope that we will stay on board for the whole quantity.
Okay, great. Thank you for all the details.
Thank you.
The next question is from Brian Kinstler of Alliance Global Partners. Please go ahead.
Great, thanks for taking my question. It's a follow-up just on CRs in general. Is what's different for RADA today as opposed to past years? I've covered the stock and the impact of the CR that you have programs of record. And if that's the case, we've seen CRs almost every year for the past 15 to 20 years. So is there risk of something like this happening in a December or the March quarter ongoing now with CRs every year almost? Why or why not?
I think, I think that my experience with CR is relatively limited, I must tell. But for my understanding and judgment, we were a bit unlucky in the fact that two programs of records of ours, the ABAD and SOCOM SIP, were new. So the CR kind of hurt them directly. However, once you are already part of an established program of record and it is not categorized as new, maybe it is not as quick as without a CR, but it is not hurt as we were hurt. So these two big programs that we were relying on actually caused a lot of the miss in Q4 and Q1.
So to be clear, once those are more established programs, CR, which keeps funding the same as last year, you'll be able to maintain those levels in years four when they're more mature programs. Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying. And also I'm saying that, we are very agile in delivery. So once it recovers and they need more, we are adapting ourselves very quickly.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure.
The next question is from Arnold Ersener. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Can you comment on the margin differential between the products you sell to the U.S. government and the just-in-time, more rapid products you're supplying to other nations, please?
When we sell from Israel, we sell at the same prices to everybody. In the U.S. at the beginning, we sold not directly but through other companies, so they topped it up, you know, accordingly. But basically, we sell at the same prices.
Okay. And your balance sheet is obviously quite strong, and the market is not reacting well to your release this morning. Can you remind us if you have a share repurchase authorization in place, and in a broader sense, highlight your priorities for your growing balance sheet and free cash flow? Thanks.
We don't have any current, although we have an outstanding F3 like we always do in the last four and a half years, we do not intend to use it now. Our cash flow situation, our cash balance situation is pretty strong. We don't believe that currently we have any need for additional cash. And we believe that as revenue will grow, as we expected in the third quarters of 2022, the cash generation will be delivered.
So again, I'm a little unclear. If you have excess cash and strong free cash flow, you funded growth in the business, you funded inventories, I'm wondering why your board doesn't think share repurchase is a higher priority at the moment, given where your stock price is.
You are wondering what, please? We are not understanding you here.
You have a board of directors. I can't understand why share repurchase isn't a higher priority, given your strong balance sheet, your free cash flow generation. You'll be working down the inventories as you sell finished goods, which will enhance free cash flow. I guess I don't understand your board's thinking why a share repurchase isn't a much higher priority in the short run, given where your stock is trending. Thank you.
Okay. So our priority is to grow our business. We believe that we have a very healthy business, and we raised money in the past from the market in order to grow the business and to make this company a great success. That's our current strategy, and our current strategy is not calling for a buyback of RADA shares.
Operator, do we have any more questions?
If there are any additional questions, please press star 1. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. Please stand by while we poll for more questions. The next question is from Ron Or of Glilot. Please go ahead.
Hi. First of all, it's Ron Or. I do B and I Avi. My question is regarding the guidance. As you mentioned, 90% of the guidance is already marked in the U.S. Budget or in specific lines in the budget. Can you maybe refer, apart from India, what are the major upside that you see for the guidance for this year?
You're talking about the Indian market?
No. Apart from India, are there upsides that may occur and are not currently in the guidance?
It's too early to say.
Like, don't you see the European market started to wake up from what's happening?
We do see it, but remember, we are radars that are embedded in weapon systems. It's not immediate. We are not selling bullets and ammunition. There, it has its lead time. It took us 3 years in the U.S. since Ukraine take one, 2014, until we started to see revenues in 17. I hope that in Europe it will be much less, but it will be a year and a half at least. Directly to Europe, I mean. However, we do see, and this is maybe a potential upside, we do see a momentum around the systems that we are already embedded in the U.S. Being relevant to Europe and Ukraine, you know, and adjacent countries. But, you know, it's a hope, and we need to wait a while until it materializes.
My second question is regarding, like, your foreign exchange policy or hedging. We see the U.S. dollars now getting much upper against the Israeli shekel and the euro. Do you have any, like, hedging policy?
Absolutely. We have hedging policy. We are protecting our budget exchange rate. Strong dollar for exporters as we are is good news.
Probably we should expect in the second quarter, like, additional gains from foreign exchange differences.
Yeah, it's throughout our income statement.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
There are no further questions at this time. Mr. Sella, would you like to make your concluding statement?
Yes. Thank you, operator. On behalf of the management, I would like to thank all of our investors for your continuing interest in our business and support. We look forward to speaking to you again soon. Stay well and healthy, and good day to all.
Thank you. This concludes the RADA Electronic Industries first quarter 2022 results conference call. Thank you for your participation. You may go ahead and disconnect.